You're listening to the Slavic Literature Pod, your shelf help guide to all things Slavic.
I'm Cameron Lalana.
And I'm Mac Yarosimovic.
And today we're covering part 2, 31 of Vasily Grossman's life and fate, pulling back from individual characters into sort of a high-level narrator, not attached to any particular narrator. Attached to any particular character. You may, in fact, even choose to read this as Grossman speaking directly to the audience, talking on the place, theorizing on how anti-Semitism functions and its kind of defining it and delineating it in to differentiate it from other forms of discrimination, which is an interesting chapter. I think your mileage may vary on it, but it definitely well argued. Is there anywhere in here that you'd like to start on the topic itself?
Yeah, there's a few places in here that are interesting. I know we've been having some discussion in our Discord today. I wasn't around for most of today, so I opened it up and I went, "What the heck?" So I'll offer my own couple initial thoughts before we can talk about what everyone else had been talking about as well, because it was interesting today. So I like this continuing trend of Grossman dissecting the psychology of people who are anti-Semitic and are, you know, constantly using this as an excuse for, why the world is bad and why things don't come out the way that they want them to. And he says that anti-Semitism, it's also an expression of a lack of talent and inability to win a contest on equal terms. Yeah, that's right. He says, go back and train, get better, then come talk to me again.
Right.
He says it's a mirror for the failings of individuals, social structures, and state systems. Tell me what you accuse the Jews of. I'll tell you what you're guilty of. And it is just a very interesting chapter. And some of this question of whether Grossman adequately or appropriately maybe generalizes here in this chapter, as he expands into different types of racism or discrimination or what have you, I think it's important to just remember that he's writing in the aftermath of the Holocaust, which he was very much affected by and very much was witnessing the aftermath of. So there were some discussions in our Discord today that, I don't know, I would say keep that in mind.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of on their side a little bit coming to this, and I think that's a great reminder that you give to when I was reading it, when I was writing about it. That's like kind of an impasse I was personally at, where I keep saying it. The chapter itself, I think, is extremely well argued. I think it's a great view of anti-Semitism through history and differentiating the particular forms of anti-Semitism, which I agree with Grossman, that is a unique form of discrimination. It really is not comparable to other forms of discrimination. However, that some of the examples I'm going in here where I found a little doubtful, right, where he's like, oh, well, you know, someone may say, oh, Jews are loud, or they've got big lips, but if they look at an Armenian, they won't say, well, that Armenian's too loud, or that black person, black person's lips are bother me. And when I was read that, I was like, I'll be straight up honest with you, meaning Russians, if they have a problem with Jews, they probably have a problem with black people and Armenians.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
but whatever, like, that's a minor example. I don't find fault. I don't think it doesn't affect the overall argument. I think whether, like, in terms of talking about discrimination as a whole, I think this it falls a little flat in talking about all forms of discrimination. But I think one, first of all, the point you made is a great one, that this is directly responding to the Holocaust, which is absolutely unprecedented. So him saying the discrimination against Jewish people is like really different for everything else in light of the Holocaust. Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say. Now, in a broader understanding of discrimination, I think his point falls flat, but also, and I kind of was talking about this earlier, he's not Franz Fanon. He's not Angela Davis. He's not analyzing the vast death tolls of like chattel slavery and the European American, you know, North African slave trade. which also pretty massive. Like that's not what he's doing here. Like that's just not something in his analysis. And so I think the fact that I personally, when I'm reading this, like this falls flat a little bit, just in its larger implications. But I'm not holding that against the chapter because that's not really what he's trying to do. He's trying to analyze something pretty particular here. And I'm a little hesitant to come in and be like, all right, well, time to like stone cold stunner Vasily Grossman on not writing a different book. Right?
Yeah. So I agree with what you're saying. And I think if you do expand it to be a little more general, like there are some things that are what you would probably consider unaddressed for sure. And your point on the Russians, yeah, well taken. That's true. You know, having been there, spent enough time to see that for sure. I'm just gonna say, I'm not really sure though that he's meaning for it to be generalized outside of anti-Semitism. I'm not sure why. Like part of our discussion was demanding that, to be honest. He's really talking about that. He's really talking about anti-Semitism specifically. And that impulse to, because Jewishness is not tied to nationality, right? The impulse that you can pick and choose essentially your woes to project onto Jews. That's what he's getting at. And yes, it does happen, of course, with other people and other classes. And this is another facet of discrimination, but. Of course, when you try to, that just doesn't quite work everywhere. And so I think that what he's analyzing with anti-Semitism, to me, I'm not sure that it falls flat. I still think it's an important analysis. Maybe it's not the most full and cohesive analysis, but I still think it's, you know, it's an important development step thing to be written at this time.
No, yeah, I completely agree. I mean, when I say it falls flat, I mean, just if it were a general analysis, it would fall flat, like in a broader sense, which... it's not. And so taken as it is, I think it succeeds. But if I could play devil's advocate, when he talks about it as unique.
Oh, Cameron, your IR student's showing.
Well, when he says, and this is a small line, I'll grant, like this is completely different from every other form of discrimination. I think that does invite that a little bit, and maybe a way he didn't intend that anyone else who comes in from any other perspective of like, I think almost every form of discrimination when you're looking at it, it's like they're fairly unique in their own ways. And I don't think there's any reason to compare them. I'm not quibbling with Grossman here again, like in the context of it, I get why he's writing it the way he is. And so I'm not coming down on this chapter. But you know, I think there are two things that interest me in this chapter. One is his extremely well done analysis of like the background of anti-Semitism and its mechanisms. And two, I think there are also other elements which are like the point of, okay, like social ills being projected onto Jews. I think that's a good point, and also generalizable. That's something that's true for like Romani, you know, in the European context. Yeah. That's true for like homeless people, for people who are addicted to drugs, right? Like that's a good and generalizable term and tendency. So I think I still this is a very worthwhile chapter. But we're kind of talking around a lot of what people are saying. Do you mind if we just read a couple of commentary and
sure.
Let all the listeners kind of think. So this one, first one is from Dominique, who says, this chapter was very mean, trying not to pass judgment on what I read as Grossman being unaware or refusing to acknowledge the mechanisms of white supremacy. Interesting chapter to ponder for me, but it felt very sticky. Or maybe I'm just being too critical. Dominique and I spoke a little more, and after going back to it, they said, kind of say, I liked what Grossman has to say, but it is colored by what he has experienced and isn't universal. Maybe isn't universal in the way he thinks it is, or maybe I'm being dense. And they also go on to say, the only reason I would get caution flags when you start talking about Armenians of black people is because of James Baldwin writing a lot about Jewish / black relations in the West. I think his analysis might be more clear since he had opportunities to travel. I don't know how often Grossman got to experience non-Soviet versions of anti-Semitism. I think that's a fair point. Grossman did travel. I think he traveled to Armenia, and maybe that draws upon that specific example. But outside of traveling for Armenia and traveling for his war reporting, I don't know how much he did outside of that. Outside of like, you know, inner like personal like European Russian traveling. I also wanted to draw upon also Reagan as well here, who said, take this with a grain of salt as I'm not a sociologist or a scholar in this area. But from what I've read about the mechanisms of white supremacy, this Reagan is wrote this message right after Dominique. As it presents today is that anti-Semitism is a very large undercurrent from attacks on George Soros to Holocaust denial. However, since World War II, people who are interested in upholding white supremacy have found ways to talk about it that are not as obvious and use dog whistles instead of outright anti-Semitism. I wonder if the way we talk about white supremacy today is different than the vocabulary Grossman used due to different time periods, though the underlying ideas remain the same. Again, there's always more space for education on my part, and I always love to learn more. I basically agree. I mean, we aren't using the same terminology, and this is part of the reason why I personally am approaching it like, you know, Grossman's not Franz Fanon, and I'm not gonna ask him to be. And yeah, I think it's definitely true that we're using concepts that are introduced not that much later. Frankly, this is being written in the '60s, so somewhat concurrently, but it just in different contexts, right?
Well, he's also not a theorist either.
Yeah, that's true.
He sometimes will do his little theory chapters, but they're not the same. So if you're looking for someone to explain it like philosophically to you, it's not going to be here in that same way.
Yeah. So I like the discussion. I don't hold it against this chapter, but I think this is worthwhile. I think it's a worthwhile conversation to have.
No, I love seeing people get down and gross with the man.
Down and gross with the man. That's what down and dirty with the gross man.
Exactly. No, it was a good discussion today. I'm still contemplating.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully some others will respond later on. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? But that's just life. Maybe it might even be fate.
It could be. It could be.
All right, well, I think maybe that's a good place to leave for today. In that case, you will hear from us again soon.